Well, let me ask you this. Of the six televangelists that Senator Grassley requested financial forms from, mm-hmm. four have complied.
I would question that.
Okay, but if four have complied, doesn't that raise the question that perhaps Kenneth Copeland Ministries is hiding something?
You know, we have nothing to hide. That's why we went to the IRS. In fact, we've told Grassley, and we have told the IRS, we will give Grassley we'll answer every question he has. And the most expedient way for him to get those answers is through the IRS. And that's why we went there. We said, you know what, IRS, you come in, you answer all of his questions and give it back to him. The problem is, for Grassley, is the IRS has to play by the rules, and he doesn't. And so he can have all the information, but if he won't go get it through that avenue, it makes you question his motives. Why wouldn't he? If he can have it, and he could have it within 60 days, every question he had answered, why would he not use that method?
What's wrong with opening up your financial records, especially since you have
followers? We have no problem opening them. That's what I just said.
Well, you're going through the IRS. That's going to take time. It could take months and years. I mean, again, if four of the preachers have responded to Senator mm-hmm. Grassley's request, why not respond? Why not give him what he wants?
Two of the ministries have responded. We have responded as well. We were one of two ministries that responded by the deadline. We answered 17 of the 42 questions fully. The other questions we answered some in part and some we didn't answer because we believe it's a constitutional right. Now, if we give up that right, then we're giving up that right for every church in America. If we set precedents here, then every church in America, what happens when the next senator has a problem with somebody's doctrine over here or whatever thing, and they can just go in there and ask whatever questions without following the Constitution? We think it's detrimental to the body of Christ for the future to let our religious liberties be stomped on like that.
You say you're doing God's work, it's part of the ministry, and it requires a jet and requires an expensive home, but there are many famous religious figures in the past and present who have lived on poverty wages and continue to do God's work. Mother Teresa comes to mind. You can't deny the fact, you can't deny her impact on the world through her religious work, and yet she lived just above the poverty level. How do you explain that?
I explain the doctrine. There's a lot of doctrine that teaches that you're not a good Christian unless you're poor. But that's not our doctrine. That's not what we believe. I mean, we believe that God's a good God and that God wants you blessed and that poverty is a curse just like sickness or disease or, you know, having trouble in your marriage. How can you reach the world if you don't have money to do it with? How can you have a television broadcast that preaches to a potential audience of 1 billion people if you have no money? Now, you could go stand on a street corner, and you might be able to preach to 10, 15, maybe even 50 people. But which one's more effective to get the message out, preaching to 1 billion or preaching to 50 on the street corner? And we believe that God wants us blessed, not just us, but everybody.
But doesn't that send the wrong message to the American public, to the world, when they see the stereotypical televangelist living the lifestyle of jets and big homes and fancy cars and fancy hotels? The American public goes, see, they're taking those donations, and they're using it wrongly.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that say that. There's a lot of people don't believe the Bible. There's a lot of people believe you're supposed to be poor. But that's not what we believe. And there's a lot of people that don't believe you're supposed to be that way. You know, the jet wasn't purchased with just general funds. Those were donors that contributed for the specific purpose of buying the jet as a tool to get the word out, because that's important to them.
But can't you see that it may send the wrong message?
Well, certainly. I mean, if you don't believe it, then you don't believe it. That's fine. But there's a lot of people that do, and there's a lot of people's lives who are being changed because of it. So if our donors are not complaining about it, our donors are for it, then what is it to say? Why would Senator Grassley or anybody else feel like that they don't have to contribute to this ministry? Nobody's asking anybody. We don't get on there and beg for money. You find one time Dad's got on there and said, please send us money. In a letter, on TV, anywhere. He doesn't. He just preaches the word. That's all he does.
Are you members of the ECFA, the Evangelical Council for Financial Accountability?
No, we're not.
Why not?
Well, the main reason, they don't even believe in the doctrine we believe in. So why would you want to submit to somebody that doesn't believe what you teach to start with? That's kind of counterproductive.
But certainly,
and where in the Bible does it say that you should have watchdogs and judgment groups that watch over ministries?
But they can be beneficial. They can be helpful. They can keep ministries true.
Well, you know what? You know who we're accountable to is God. That's who we're accountable to. And we have done for the last 40 years everything possible to do it by the book.
What about Ministry Watch? They too have asked for your financial records more than 20 times.
Same reason.
But you keep denying them.
Same reason. We're not accountable to them. We're not accountable to them. And they don't believe in what we teach. You know, when they say what you're teaching is heresy, then why would we want to submit ourselves to them?
I guess the fundamental question that needs to be asked is, if there's nothing to hide, then why hide it?
Well, as I said a while ago, we don't have anything to hide. We've invited them in to come answer every question. It's the method that he's going through. It compromises our First Amendment rights. And there's a way to do it without doing that. The problem is, see, what we're standing up for is not just our rights, but every church and synagogue in America. They really need to be standing up and paying attention to what's going on, because they could be next, actually. And so what we're doing, it's a principle thing. All the information's there. They can have everything they want. They just need to follow the law in getting it. And I'll say this. What's wrong with family being in church? You know, we've been raised to be committed to the church, and we're committed to the church. Jesus had family in his disciples. Moses had family in his. So, you know, it would be something if none of your family wanted to be involved in what you were doing. That wouldn't be a good thing. We're all committed to what we're doing here.